First of all, before we start talking about the actual numbers from the survey, tell us about this election. What is the Pennsylvania 18th district like? And the two candidates that ran against each other, Lamb and Saccone, what are they like? What are the specifics of this district in this race?
Well, the most important thing to know about it is that it's a district that voted for Trump by 20 points, and it has also voted for Romney by double digits. So this is pretty strongly Republican territory. One thing that was definitely a big talking point coming out from Democrats in the last 48 hours since this election is that there are something like 120 Republican-held districts in the country that are more Democratic-friendly than this one that Democrats won on Tuesday night. That obviously doesn't mean that Democrats are going to win all 120 districts that are more friendly to them than this one. But Democrats only need to pick up 25, 26 seats to get control of the House. And it certainly seems like when you're winning Trump plus 20 districts that you might at least be able to win a quarter of the 120 districts that are more Democratic friendly than this one. So that's sort of the overall political terrain. In terms of the candidates, a Republican was a state representative named Rick Saccone, just sort of a standard issue Republican. The Democrat was a very young guy, Connor Lamb, first time running for office, attorney, had been in the military, had a very good biography. A lot of people sort of surmised that part of the dynamic was going on was that, you know, he was somebody who you would like to be your son. And then on election day, there were pictures of him taking his, you know, 80-something-year-old grandmother to go vote for him that were sort of cute pictures, which I think sort of reinforced that narrative. So Democrats had a very good candidate. I think that is part of how they were able to pull off this upset. But when you're winning in a Trump plus 20 district, it also just says a whole lot about what the political climate's like.
So break down the numbers. You did a survey of voters once that election was all said and done. What did voters say? Why did they vote the way they did?
Well, one key thing in the district was, as I noted, Trump won the district by 20 points. But Trump's approval rating in the district was at this point almost evenly divided, 50% approved, 48% disapprove, and Connor Lamb got close to 100% of the vote of people who disapproved of Trump. So I think that's relevant on a couple levels. One, obviously, is that Trump is barely break even in districts that he won by 20 points. So that's a big sign of how much his popularity has fallen. But the fact that Lamb got close to 100% of the vote of people who disapprove of Trump, I think, is a warning to other Republican candidates that, like, you can't wash yourself of Trump. You're not going to be able to, say stuff to disassociate yourself from him and sort of have Trump not be your problem. Republicans really are kind of, I think, stuck with Trump because, what we saw here was that people basically did vote based on how they felt about Trump, and that was kind of that. So that's something that Republicans are really going to have to contend with. But beyond that, we found that health care really was a major issue in the election. We asked people how important it was to their vote, and 52% of voters in the district said either that it was the most important issue to them or a very important issue to them. And out of that 52% of voters who said health care was one of the biggest things driving their vote, the Democrat Connor Lamb won by 24 points, 62-38. So I really think, and I can remember all of our conversations last summer, I think it was the Republicans' botched attempts to repeal Obamacare last summer that sort of created this strong Democratic political climate that we have. And certainly the election result on Tuesday night was a continuation of that.
It really is a fascinating thing. And I know you've been saying that and you've been seeing that in polls for months and months now. And you're right. We talked about this on a number of different occasions last summer and in subsequent months. But it's just fascinating considering how many, many kind of high profile issues there are that people are talking about and caring about right now. In that particular district, it's steel country because it's right outside of Pittsburgh. So tariffs, you would think, would be an issue. Guns and gun control and school safety, you would think, would be a significant issue. Obviously, immigration and foreign policy and all of these other things, all of the investigations against Trump and corruption and Russia and all of these, like, the list can go on and on and on, but it always seems to come back to health care. And that was the case in 2010 as well, when Obamacare was first passed.
Yeah, and speaking of Obamacare, one thing that was particularly fascinating in this district, given how feelings about Obamacare used to be, is that we found that voters 44 to 42 in this district support the Affordable Care Act. I mean, it used to be that Obamacare was unpopular even in Democratic states, and now we've reached the point where Obamacare is popular by 15 or 20 points nationally, to the point where it's even possible for it to be popular in a district like this that voted for Trump by 20 points. And then sort of the opposite side of the Obamacare feelings, we asked people how they felt about the Republican efforts to repeal Obamacare. Only 39% of voters said that they approve of the Republican efforts to repeal Obamacare. 53% said they disapprove of them. And what was particularly striking on that particular question is that 53% overall disapproved of Republican efforts to repeal Obamacare, but with independents, 63% opposed Republican efforts to repeal Obamacare. And I think probably closely related to that, we found that the Democrat Connor Lamb won independents by 17 points. So we found in general that voters were unhappy with the repeal efforts, but independents were especially unhappy with the repeal efforts. And that really helped contribute to Lamb being able to win the race.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is their website. Find him on Twitter at PPPpolls. And we're talking about the Pennsylvania 18 race, this special election that took place earlier this week that political pundits and experts are talking about as a potential harbinger for the 2018 midterms. So looking at the numbers, what does this election and the outcome suggest about what's probably going to happen in November and what Democrats and Republicans maybe need to do to either enhance their success or stave off big defeats?
Sure. Well, I think really it's a lesson for both sides that the playing field for this fall is a lot wider than maybe it usually is and than you might expect. So I think the lesson for Democrats is be aggressive, heavily contest places, even where it seems like you shouldn't have a chance. I mean, I remember this special election was created by the Republican incumbent having to resign because of a sex scandal. Mm-hmm. And I remember a lot of quote unquote experts when the Republican resigned saying, well, this is going to create a special election in March in Pennsylvania that Republicans will easily win because this is not a competitive district. And I think this shows that there's probably a lot of districts that on paper you would look at that way, but Democrats do have a chance in those kinds of places this year. So they have to, I think, really be aggressive in contesting as many places as possible. I think for Republicans, it's a warning of complacency. I don't think Republicans were complacent about this particular race, but I do think there's probably Republicans in similar sorts of districts who are, sort of taking a mindset that they'll have an easy time of it and their districts are too Republican for them to be able to lose. And I think this should be a wake-up call to a lot of people in those kinds of districts about just what is and is not possible to lose. And then one other piece of it, as it sort of relates to North Carolina, there's been a lot of national attention in the last 24 hours to the fact that this election outcome really freaked out the director of the North Carolina Republican House Caucus. He sent out an email that leaked to their members saying that if the elections in North Carolina this fall went the way the election went on Tuesday night, meaning that if Democrats won the districts that were as Republican-friendly as the one that this election was in on Tuesday night, Democrats would go to having a 74-46 majority in the House. Like, they would pick up something like 30 seats. Mm-hmm. And the head of the Republican caucus in North Carolina actually put this into writing. Realistically, Democrats aren't going to win all 30 seats that were more Democratic-friendly than this one in Pennsylvania Tuesday night, but I think it does speak to the fact that Democrats do have a multitude of opportunities, especially compared to sort of how small the playing field has been in recent election cycles. And I think it's a near certainty that Democrats are going to break the supermajority that Republicans have in the legislature in North Carolina. And I think I alluded to this on the phone with you maybe a month ago, but I continue to think this. I think there is a chance Democrats could get control of the North Carolina House or Senate. Not a very big chance, but if we talked at any time in the last 8 years, I would have said Democrats had a zero chance of getting control of one of the chambers of the legislature. Now it's probably 10 to 20%, but even for it to be 10 to 20% shows how much the landscape has changed.
And we talked about this before, too. I was going to ask about that email, but I mean, you alluded to it with the need for Democrats to be aggressive and contest districts that we wouldn't otherwise. The fact that Democrats are running a candidate in every single state house and every single state senate district in North Carolina now becomes that much more meaningful.
Yeah, and not only that, but a lot of the candidates in these districts are pretty serious. We had a woman come by the office today who's the candidate against Phil Berger, and that's a district that Donald Trump won by 37 points. So by no stretch of the imagination would you usually consider that to be a potentially competitive district, and Democrats have a really impressive candidate there who's already raised $60,000, which is a pretty good amount of fundraising for somebody in a legislative district this far out from the election. So I think that Democrats did a good job not just of getting bodies to put themselves on the ballot, but people who are actually going to be working hard and raising money and running credible campaigns. And what we see anytime you have a wave election year, which this certainly seems to be, the party that has the momentum ends up winning some stuff that you just wouldn't expect them to have a chance of winning at all. So I think there's going to be some seats that flip this year that are really going to surprise people.
PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website. Find them on Twitter at PPPPolls to get more information from that Pennsylvania survey that was done earlier this week. Tom Jensen, PublicPolicyPolling.com, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.